Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast, for downloading, for subscribing to all the different places you can get it. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and on the TuneIn app. Two interviews coming up today on the podcast. So later on, my conversation with Charlotte from WWE, now the former women's champion, as we talk about WrestleMania coming here to Orlando. Charlotte lives here in the Orlando area, and obviously she has some fond memories of WrestleMania from here in Orlando back at WrestleMania 24, because that is when she was ringside and her dad had what was supposed to be his final match against Shawn Michaels. It was his final WWE match. So in some ways, it's kind of his last match, at least in that universe. So we talk about that. But before then, my conversation with Kurt Angle, who, of course, is returning to WWE, and he's going to be going into the Hall of Fame. This is something that Kurt's been wanting for a long, long time. He has been itching to get back into the WWE family. He even talks about how he's been trying to do it for the last 3 years, and WWE's been monitoring him, but you know, they hadn't been sold on it yet, and apparently they are now. And there's still a lot of talk about whether or not he is going to wrestle, and you'll hear it in the conversation. He wants to wrestle. He definitely wants to get back in the ring at least one more time with WWE, and who knows if that's going to happen. I do think it's going to happen. I've been predicting for a little while that I think he's going to wrestle at SummerSlam. Probably not until then, but they'll put it on a big stage. But that remains to be seen. But in the meantime, he is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And we now know that John Cena is going to be the person that is going to be inducting him. Cena had his first ever match with Kurt Angle in WWE. So let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Kurt Angle.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
By the way, I saw some clips of the match you had over the weekend. Looked like a great time.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Cody's such a talented kid. I really enjoyed working three matches with him, and it was pretty cool. We kind of made our own little program, and we got a lot of attention. I mean, it was a lot of fun doing that stuff. I only book matches that I didn't think I'd ever face Cody or Del Rio, and I wanted to wrestle Rey Mysterio one more time. So, and then there were a few talent from the UK that I really strongly believed WWE's going to hire eventually, and I wanted to dabble in the younger talent. I'm actually writing a blog about it today. You'll be able to read it in about an hour about my indie experience. It's over now, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did it feel like to be outside of, or we're doing an indie experience where you could kind of check off these boxes of working different guys that you've always wanted to work with?
It was, you know, for me, it was like, am I doing the right thing? You know, anybody that main events WrestleMania and then goes to indie shows, and, you know, but it was, the indie scene right now is pretty hot. I mean, if you go to the right places, like NEW Wrestling up in the Northeast, or WCPW or ICW over in the UK, you're looking at, you know, you can get up to 4,000 to 7,500 fans. It's a pretty sobering experience that all these fans come in, and, you know, it's not the monster WWE, never will be, but they get a lot. They have a really great following, all those companies.
So what was your immediate reaction when you got the phone call that said you were going into the Hall of Fame this year?
I was shocked. I thought it would occur at some point in my life. I just didn't know this early. I haven't thought about retiring yet. So usually, you know, you get the call when you step down. But I was really honored. And whether I wrestle or not in WWE, which we haven't talked about, it puts the explanation point on my career. I had a short career in WWE, about 6.5 years, but it showed the kind of impact I made there. So made me feel pretty good about what I was able to accomplish in that short period of time.
So what was the scene like on that Monday night watching Raw, and they're making the announcement and they're showing the video, and you're sitting around with your family?
That was pretty cool. I you know, I haven't been recognized on WWE television for a long time. There were quick name mentions, or, you know, comparing me to, you know, if they were celebrating John Cena's 15th year in the business, and then they would show his debut match, which would be me. Very seldom was I ever on, you know, on Raw or on SmackDown. So it's kind of cool to see that again. It's been 11 years, a long time. And I was just happy that I got the recognition. And, you know, it just, it's good to, it feels good to be back home at WWE where I started. I always wanted to finish my career there. And I didn't know if it was ever going to occur.
Do you ever find it funny that for fans that want to appreciate you, especially WWE fans, that when they hear your theme song, that they chant, "You suck"?
I don't know if the new generation understands it, but it's to me, it's a huge compliment. I don't forget, five of my 6.5 years, I was a heel. So it worked well with my character. The other year and a half that I was babyface, it was an appreciation thing. It actually got louder. There was a point in time where Vince McMahon was trying to defer it away from me. And, you know, and whenever my song would play, I was supposed to point at my opponent, like, tell him that he sucked. And it didn't work. one of the very, very few things that Vince McMahon came up with that didn't actually work. So we stuck with it, and it is a huge appreciation. It's the words don't mean anything. It just gives the fans something to sing along with my entrance song.
Well, the whole thing is, it's the, you know, how loud the reaction is, and that's when people really appreciate you. It's not necessarily what they're saying; it's how they're saying it and how many people are saying it.
You're exactly right. That's the most important thing, is the reaction. And exactly how they do say it.
It seemed like it was perfect timing for you when you came into WWE as well, not only when you first started training, but once you got into the main roster, from the standpoint of, you look at the talent base that was there besides yourself. You've got Rock, you've got Austin, Brock Lesnar, Shawn Michaels, yeah. Triple H. I mean, that's just how perfect is that timing when you've got that amount of talent and different guys that you can work with all the time?
It was awesome. The one thing I was tentative about was starting at that time when it was so hot, because when you have that many individuals, you know, Austin, Rock, Undertaker, Kane was really hot at the time. From, you know, Shawn Michaels to Brock Lesnar to, you know, it was ongoing, and it was like, am I going to get lost in this? You know, when I start, there's just so much talent going on. But I didn't get lost. I actually rose to the top, and it felt pretty good. So, you know, sometimes you want to be part of the most popular, era, which definitely was the Attitude Era. But at the same time, you don't want to get lost in that era. So, you know, sometimes you want the talent to dilute a little bit. But it was really hot at the time, and I was really appreciative that WWE gave me that good push during that period.
So what was the key part of when it came to your character? Because obviously, coming from amateur wrestling, you don't have to worry about, you know, anything like that. And then suddenly you come onto the WWE scene and you just totally open up and become this Kurt Angle that we all get to know.
Well, you know, me having no experience in pro wrestling and sports entertainment at all, I didn't even watch it until I signed in 1998. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know about the character development. I didn't know about, you know, even about the technique. I was clueless. But they had a plan for me. They utilized it properly. I don't know how they did it, but, you know, Vince McMahon thought, you're going to be our biggest heel. And I didn't agree with him. I was telling him, I'm an Olympic gold medalist. You know, what's so heel about that? He said, trust me, they're going to turn on you. And he had a plan for me, you know, the whole three eyes thing and being larger than life, the guy that makes all the right decisions and It was at a time when Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was really the bad guy, was the good guy. You know, he was rebellious. So the fans started identifying with that as their top babyface. And they didn't want the milk-drinking good guy that, you know, did all the right things to be their, you know, their savior. They wanted the bad guy, the bad boy. So it was a different time, and it worked. Vince McMahon was right. I had no idea what he wanted me to do. I just did exactly what he told me to do every week, and everything worked out perfectly.
I think we all have different ideas of our favorite moments from your career. What are a couple of things that really stand out from your standpoint when it comes to your time in WWE?
Well, there's so many great wrestling matches. You know, I wanted wrestling to define me, but it didn't. I have gotten more recognition for the funny segments, the goofy segments, the entertaining segments than I have the wrestling. And I consider myself one of the greatest, you know, technical wrestlers of all time in WWE or anywhere. So I don't know how I did it, but, you know, the driving the milk truck in and doing the funny skits with Stone Cold, doing the angle with Triple H and Stephanie, doing the stuff with Edge and Christian, the funny stuff, you know, wrestling The Rock and doing the rap, you know, the stuff Rock and I did back and forth, the rap battle with John Cena. It was, I get a lot more recognition for that stuff than I did for the wrestling, which is kind of crazy, but, you know, that the fans, that's what they want. They don't want a wrestler that's just blah, you know, that just goes out there and performs and wrestles great matches. They want something extra. And if you have that extra, you're going to rise to the top.
Have you thought yet about what you're going to say during your Hall of Fame speech and who might be inducting you?
I don't know who is inducting me. I was hoping for either John Cena or Stone Cold Steve Austin or Undertaker or Brock Lesnar. Only because those four have had the biggest impacts on the business since I've been there. And but I believe it'll be one of them. I haven't really given it much thought because I do want to kind of feel the moment. And, you know, one thing I do want to do is give advice to the young sports entertainers or anybody that's aspiring to be one with my experiences. So it'll be more of a, you know, this is what you do and what you don't do. And obviously I'm sure I'll be thanking a lot of people, but hopefully it'll be a very special speech that people will appreciate.
Do you think there will be any singing? I mean, do you still know the words to Sexy Kurt?
Yeah, I've actually sang it a few times. I don't know. I thought about doing something like that. We'll see. I don't know how much time they're going to give me, so you never know. I think I might be going on last, so they might say, Kurt, you have 30 seconds before the show's over. So you have to learn to adapt, especially when you're on last. You find out in that company that things start going long. Unfortunately, the final segment will get cut short, so you have to look out for that.
I think they should have people handing out milk to everybody.
That would be brilliant.
Little cartons of milk, everybody.
I'm sure they're going to have some kind of milk gimmick, or I will, going on at that speech. But it'll be entertaining one way or another.
So I know so many people keep asking you about whether or not you're going to wrestle there. What do you think it's going to take for that opportunity to possibly happen on both sides?
Well, I think first and foremost, we get to the Hall of Fame, we get through that. I'll sit down and talk to Triple H and Vince McMahon and see, you know, what direction they want to go with me. I know for sure they want me to work in the company, most likely on a non-wrestling capacity. But, you know, as long as I'm doing, you know, they know I've been active and they know that I can still go just as well as I've ever gone. So we haven't talked about it, but I'm sure that in the back of their minds, they're thinking we're gonna release Kurt Angle and some of these talent in the future. It's not guaranteed, but and I honestly have not talked to them about it at all. But you know, seeing people like Goldberg and Sting come back and you know do some programs, it's promising that you know, Kurt Angle will eventually get a shot.
Last few things. I don't know if you've talked to Vince yet on a one-on-one basis, but any thoughts on what that conversation might be like?
I did speak with Vince, and the really cool thing about Vince, we met, and the first thing he did was he embraced me, hugged me like I was his son. Got really emotional. You know, we didn't leave on the best terms. It wasn't bad terms, but you know, there were some angry remarks, especially from my side. And Vince was frustrated with me with everything going on at that point in time. So, you know, I haven't spoken to him for 11 years. And to be able to come back and Vince just say, listen, let it go. Let everything in the past go. We're here now. There's nothing you need to worry about that occurred in the past. Just worry about right now in the future. And we have some wonderful plans for you in the future. And, you know, it just couldn't help it, you know, shed a few tears. And, you know, because Vince was my father figure. He really took care of me. And even when I was having the painkiller problem, you know, he was trying to get me to rehab. And he just treated me like a son and treated me very well. And, you know, it's, you know, my body just couldn't hold up to that vigorous schedule. And, you know, as much as I wanted to stay, I just couldn't. And with my painkiller issue, that was another issue. I felt like a liability to the company, and they didn't know the amount I was taking. I was hiding that from them. And, you know, when 2003, when I broke my neck, there wasn't a really strong drug policy there yet. So, you know, now they have an incredible policy, so I commend them on that. Also, their wellness policy, where, you know, you have to be cleared by a doctor thoroughly before you wrestle. I mean, Daniel Bryan and I have, you know, the same injuries, and he can't wrestle. I wrestled back then. So it goes to show you how far they've come with making sure their talent is first and taken care of. And they won't take any chances like that anymore. And I think that's awesome.
On that note, tell me a little bit about your addiction recovery app, AngleStrong.
AngleStrong, I've been trying to come up with this for about 3 years. When I got out of rehab, there was no aftercare. You go to AA meetings, but that takes up a lot of time. If you're a father of five and you're traveling a lot and you work all the time, it's really difficult to do that, you know, two hours every day and get there every day. It's just literally impossible in this day and age. And what we need is something that was more conventional. So I started the AngleStrong initiative at AngleStrong.com. There's all kinds of information on, you know, from AA meetings closest to you to rehabs best suited for you, daily positive messages. We're going to have a monthly video call with me, with all our members of AngleStrong. What makes the app so special is it has so many features to it. A chat portion of it where, you know, recovering addicts can talk to each other about their issues and everything. There's a check-in policy. You have to check in every day. If you don't check in, your lifelines are notified. That's your loved ones, your family members, your sponsor. If you do relapse, it's GPS enabled, so we're going to find you. This app is really incredible, and it's going to save a lot of lives. And hopefully it'll keep so many people in recovery.
That's awesome. So last thing, how do you think it's going to be that week coming up here? The whole week is all the festivities that go into WrestleMania, and, you know, from, you know, everything that goes into it, like I said, including the Hall of Fame and then WrestleMania itself and you being there as part of it.
I'm just glad that I can at least be a part of WrestleMania one more time. I'm hoping that won't be the end of my, you know, stint there, but if it is, I would be 1,000% satisfied. I couldn't ask for anything more than the company to take me back. I've been trying to get there for 3 years, and I understood why. I mean, you know, going through what I did and my drug issues, my alcohol issues, having 4 DUIs in 5 years, you know, you ruin your reputation. And the last thing WWE needs is someone to come in and, you know, that's irresponsible and not doing things the proper way. And, you know, God forbid if something bad happened to me under their watch, you know, it puts a black eye on that company. And so I understood. And I know they've been keeping an eye on me the past few years to see how I've been progressing. And so they knew now was the right time. And they brought me in and, you know, they explained to me, you know, we needed to make sure you were okay before we brought you in. So I completely understood why they did that. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to finish my career here.
That's awesome, man. I think it's going to be a special night. And congratulations, and I look forward to seeing you.
Okay, thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. Quick reminder, please support Between the Ropes on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. You can make a difference. You help us keep doing what we're doing. We love covering professional wrestling, and any kind of support that you can provide helps myself and Michael and the entire team here keep doing what we're doing. If you love Between the Ropes and you want to support us, you enjoy what we do, please help us out there. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Recently, I got the opportunity to speak with Charlotte again. And I say again because I've been lucky enough to talk to Charlotte on multiple occasions. It just kind of works out that Charlotte is doing media and I'm able to speak with her. Met her a few years ago when she did WrestleMania Radio Row, and we've talked multiple times since then. So, you know, it's great to talk to Charlotte. We know each other a little bit now. And yeah, it's just fun really talking to Charlotte, who's one of the best performers in the WWE, not even counting the women. I'm just talking about overall performers. And I always enjoy the conversation with her. So it's great catching up with her. Here is my most recent conversation with WWE superstar Charlotte.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. Man, we keep doing this, Charlotte. I'm going to be able to claim you on my taxes here pretty soon.
That's funny. I don't know. Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk some WrestleMania because it's right around the corner, obviously. What does it mean for you to have WrestleMania in the city where you currently live?
Well, I mean, not even that making the travel easy. I just think to 10 years ago, sitting in the Citrus Bowl for the last time with my family, watching my dad retire. That's all I can think about. I literally can picture me, my little brother, driving from Charlotte down to Orlando. And we got in at like 4:30 in the morning and going under, you know, the bridge on 4 where it has Orlando, where you're passing the parks.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just remember seeing that and being like, yeah, we're in Orlando. This is cool. Especially because as a WCW kid, we spent a lot of summers at Disney due to the tapings. So that's where my family always went for family vacations. And we thought it came full circle when my dad retired there because we spent the weekend, you know, going to Universal, going to SeaWorld, doing all the things that we did as kids. And then watching my dad's last match with WWE, we just thought, wow, life has come full circle. And then 10 years later, he won't be the last player to walk out in the Citrus Bowl, now the camping arena. It's crazy to think that because definitely 10 years ago, I just thought, wow, when I'm 30, I'm going to be this old lady with 3 kids. And I don't know. I just never pictured my life here. So I look at pictures from WrestleMania 24 and I can't, it's mind blowing to me and I'm in it.
What do you think your reaction would have been 10 years ago if, like, future you could have talked to present day you then to say, hey, guess what? A decade later, this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be, you know, a major star in WWE and you're going to be doing this for a living.
I would have laughed. Because I, not only did we sit front row, but my dad was the first active inductee and me, my little brother, my big brother, and my sister all accepted his Hall of Fame ring because he was going to be wrestling. And I remember being in Gorilla, like shaking and my lips quivering, thinking I have to walk out on stage in front of all these people and on television. And then I remember thinking, my dad does this every night. And then thinking, well, not only does he do this every night, all I have to do is stand there. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, that's how different of a person I am today than I was back. I mean, I was just nervous to do that and thinking, you know, I remember walking backstage and seeing Michelle McCool sitting in a chair, getting her makeup done, just thinking how glamorous and beautiful and how awe I was of her. And she just happened to be sitting there, but I wouldn't have believed it. I would have never pictured myself in that chair.
What do you think it's going to be like here in Orlando over the next couple of months as WWE starts to take over the city?
Well, I'm going to feel right at home. I think it's great, especially too with the NXT roots. Orlando is home of NXT, and to know that for a lot of the superstars on the WrestleMania card this year, NXT was first their home, and to know it's coming full circle from being at Full Sail to now at the stadium, I think it's going to be special for a lot of the talent. I think it's going to be special for a lot of the families. And in general, you know, WrestleMania is a week-long event, and there are a lot of things to do in Orlando. So to add the magic that Orlando has with, you know, Disney and what it means to families, also with WrestleMania being in town with that same kind of feeling, it's going to be a magical weekend. I know it sounds corny, but I really feel that way about it. And it's an open stadium. Open stadiums, I feel, have a different vibe than closed arenas.
What do you think is the biggest difference about that? Because I know there's some people that say it's tougher in an open arena simply because all of the noise doesn't like circle around the ring and stay right there. It kind of goes up in the air and sometimes escapes the stadium.
Well, WrestleMania last year, obviously, was my first WrestleMania, and I had a hard time at AT&T Stadium. Then again, there was 101,000 people just with the delayed reaction and listening to the audience. So I have heard that it's more difficult, but I really won't be able to feel it till I'm out there experiencing it for myself. But I'm just more excited because it's going to be a completely different atmosphere than last year. And being in Florida, you know, the sun and it's open. I mean, it's going to be completely different. But in terms of, you're just going to have to, I'll have to improvise as I go with the noise.
You mentioned NXT, and you're one of the people that obviously you got to experience NXT as it was really becoming the brand that it is today. And obviously you've now been, you know, on the main stage of WWE as well. Can you explain the differences between the two, or just what that NXT experience is like? Because it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more unique because it's a little bit of a smaller audience, but at the same time, it's very passionate.
Well, NXT is very special to me because I'm NXT homegrown, and you can't talk to a lot of the talent, and then most of the talent today had prior experience or come from different promotions. But for me, NXT, one, that's where I learned how to wrestle. It's the only place I've wrestled other than the main roster. And, you know, I was the second to hold the NXT women's title, and with Paige and Emma setting the bar for women's wrestling and being a part of the growing women's wrestling sensation down in NXT and the fans with the 500, 600 people that Full Sail holds, it's a completely different feel, and they are very passionate, which almost makes you have to be that much better because you're dealing with a more knowledgeable audience and an audience that is very passionate about the product in general. So, you know, on the main roster, you get all kinds of fans, casual fans, children, the diehard, you know, just every kind of fan you can think of. But NXT is a very unique fan base. So, if you can wrestle in front of those fans, you can wrestle in front of any audience. But the difference in schedule and promotion, and there's the main roster is, you either make it or you don't, because it is very demanding. And NXT, you know, it is taped. There aren't as many pay-per-views. You get to practice. I mean, up here, it is 24/7, go, go, go. And either you thrive in this atmosphere or you don't.
Now, if we go back to last year's event as well, when it came to WrestleMania, obviously that's when the Women's Championship came back, changing from the Divas Championship. What was that experience like to be a part of that? And how do you feel the women have done, you know, in growing the division over this past year and making it to what it is now?
Oh, wow. I was extremely honored. And being the bad guy that I was last year, it was extremely hard for me to hold back tears, because I wanted, you know, to have that moment where I just, it just didn't, I don't know, to know that, one, to have the opportunity to be on the card, but then to be with the two women that I grew up with in NXT, and sharing that moment and having my dad out there. I just wanted to break down and just let all of the pressure come out in my tears. But I was a bad guy. I was like, oh, just hold it together so you can get back to that back curtain. But it meant a lot. You know, I was very proud of the Divas title, but winning the Women's Championship was as exciting, but it was more the fact that I knew the company was making a executive decision to put more emphasis on the women. That's why they gave us a new title, just to update the division. So, and to know that they were choosing me to represent that title at that moment, which will be replayed for years and years and years, it meant a lot. And I get goosebumps thinking about it.
You mentioned being the bad guy. So how do you learn to become mean?
Well, you know, the character developed because the fans were so brutal to me. Well, honestly, it's easier to cover up being nervous through, being mean, but, no one likes to be the bad guy. And, I want to play that role because, it's easier to please people. I mean, because like the constant people get so mad at me on Twitter. Like when I disown my dad, like a couple times I'm like, oh, I really want to just tweet, guys. It's not real, but it's just my job and playing it well. And you know, so when I first started, the fans were brutal to me, and I just said, oh, you don't think I can do it? Watch me. And that's how I just kept continuing to work at it and took Charlotte's character to the next level, was due to a bunch of criticism.
Yeah. Well, how do you deal with fans when they're chanting? Well, you're in the middle of talking in the ring and fans start interrupting. They start chanting. They start doing what chants? What have you learned to play off of that?
Well, I've learned that, one, they want to be interacted with. So it's feeling comfortable enough to stop thinking about the script for a second, acknowledge them, but then bring the focus back to you. And these are all things that I think about all day, every day. That's just, I just want to get better at it. I want to be able to control an arena, and also knowing your character. And I feel that I can do that and can be able to deal with the what chance, because I know Charlotte's character. I know what she'll do in any time. Like whether it's called whether it's calling peasants or the queen's talking, I don't know, but I know that character. So if you know your character, it's easier to do that. Whereas the babyface Charlotte, I wouldn't have known what to do.
Yeah. Well, I can tell that you really feed off the booze now, which you can see that kind of coming out now. But here's the thing. So, I mean, we've talked several times. I know you're a really good person. You're really nice. You're really fun. And you're playing this character on TV. So what part of the character is actually you? I mean, how much are you like the character you portray?
Well, The one thing that I am extremely confident in is my athletic ability. My dad has had me in sports since I was a little girl, and I'm extremely mentally tough because I've played Division I sports. So I take my confidence with my athletic ability and just, yes, I come out extremely arrogant, but what I'm arrogant about is what the people don't know. The people think that I'm arrogant because I'm Ric Flair's daughter. So, but what I am confident about is my athletic ability. So what I'm showing is my confidence and my athletic ability, but when the audience sees me, they just think, oh, that's Charlotte Flair. She thinks she's better than everyone, or she only has a job because of her dad. So if people can, you know, if I can dress that up with a robe, like if I can take my athletic background and put a robe and some makeup on and people think, oh, that's that character, that's very true to who I am. Like I'm very confident in being a strong, independent woman and standing, you know, for, you know, the women's division as a whole. And yes, that sounds like a baby face line, but if you add, and I think I'm genetically superior and I think I'm the greatest athlete or whatever, then you can, you know, have that heel turn. So it's just like, it's making people think one thing when it's really, it's just having different sources. My sources aren't what the audience thinks the sources are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely does. So,
like, I never, like, my dad's the greatest of all time. Like, I have to live up to that every day. No one really knows what kind of pressure that is. But if I can hide that pressure and show it in a different way, then that helps the character.
Right. I think you hide it pretty well.
Thank you.
I can't imagine being in. I can't imagine being out in front of that many people. Then on top of that, having that kind of expectations. And I think you've done tremendously well with it and continue to get better. So, you know, at this point, the way that you keep racking up women's championships, so you're going to catch your dad's record here pretty soon.
I don't know. I don't really think about it.
It's coming.
You know, things have happened fast, but I mean,
maybe not to you because you're living it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it is crazy to think that way, but I don't really think about the number. I just think about what I meant to the title.
Right.
And I hope that's what the takeaway.
Last thing. So how far are you in the planning stages for your entrance and wardrobe for WrestleMania?
Oh, you have no idea. I was just talking to our media rep this morning about it. I do have a robe planned, and it's going to be spectacular, I hope. And it's one of my dad's themes, so.
I'm hoping it's white.
Oh, I wear way too much spray tan for that. One day I'll have a white one.
It's funny because white, so many people just think, oh, that instantly means, you know, that's a nice look, whatever. I love it when like heels wear white. There's something about that.
Oh, Seth Rollins when he wore his all white.
Oh.
Oh, great.
Oh, when he went Queetlean Sigger out there. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
That was good. So cool. Well, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Very cool. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks again to everybody for listening, for downloading the podcast. Always appreciate it, all the support from everybody and for listening. Any kind of feedback that you want to give me, please do. I'm at Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. And you can also tweet the show. It's at Between the Ropes. You can find us on Facebook as well. It is facebook.com/Between the Ropes. Michael and I will be back coming up tomorrow night with another podcast. We'll be doing the weekly one, talking about everything that's going on at WWE, some Ring of Honor news, leave an update everybody with what's going on with the Hardys, like who the hell knows what's going on with the Hardys these days, and plenty of WrestleMania talk, of course, since that is right around the corner. So thanks again to everybody for listening, and I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.